Well, hey everybody, and welcome to the Wild Wormhole. Out here forging some keys, talking about our favorite game, KeyForge. Here with Mike. What's up, Mike?
Not too much. If you also listen to the Jedi Trials, disregard D House's comment about this being our favorite game.
Oops. It's like when you say you have a best friend. Like, everyone's your best friend. Like, I work with teenagers, and they all say, oh, this is my best friend, and they say that about everybody. That's how I treat my games. All right.
I can get behind that. I would say that KeyForge is my best friend, and Star Wars Destiny is also my best friend.
Thank you. Clear. So this will actually be our most respectable episode we've ever released, because Jay is not here.
Oh.
So if you were hoping for some certified trash, you're not going to get it today. We are professionals to do a professional job.
Mm-hmm. Extremely professional. my good sir.
That's right. But joining us over our Discord channel is our Mega Deluxe Patreon, Ferocious Rick, maybe joined by a few others as they come. If you don't know what I'm talking about, we have a little Patreon, patreon.com/wildwormhole. And by supporting the show, it throws you into our Discord channel where we talk, and the Mega Deluxe tier gets to be live with us in episodes and make commentary and make fun of Jay, which is really what everybody wants to see the most anyways.
Yeah, yeah. So we're very sorry that you can't make fun of Jay live this time, but you certainly will be able to in the future.
Well, I mean, you can. He just can't defend himself, which is the best part.
Yeah, yeah. Ignore me. It's totally fine.
That's right. So if you want to be part of our Discord channel, you can get in for literally as cheap as $1 a month on Discord. We'd love to chat about some KeyForge with you on there. But enough about that. Let's talk about some KeyForge. It's been a while, been a few weeks. We had a few holidays since the last time we recorded.
Yeah.
We had Christmas. Mike, did you get any KeyForge for Christmas?
No, I didn't get any KeyForge for Christmas. It was just a sad day all around. No KeyForge to be found.
You know what? I didn't either, and it's like our families don't love us or something. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, I don't get it.
However, I did go and buy my wife a KeyForge deck.
Ooh,
for Christmas.
Nice. Nice.
So we played a couple games. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's sold on it quite yet, but, you know, it's happening. She's getting it.
Good, good. Eventually, you'll make her a believer.
Yeah, that's the hope at least. but we went to Colorado, where I'm from originally, and did Christmas with all my family members out there. And my brother and I grew up playing games together, starting with Pokemon, and we played a bunch of other ones too. So I knew, like, I just knew every year when I go home for Christmas, I bring a different game, and we just like binge play it for a week while I'm in Colorado. Yeah, because it's just like endless games, late nights, all that. Mm-hmm. So I knew he would get into KeyForge. So I ended up buying him two decks for Christmas, and he just immediately loved it. He's like, "This is amazing! I love this concept.
Nice.
Like, let's go." And like literally the day after Christmas, he's like, "Hey, you want to go to the game store and buy some more decks?"
That's awesome. Do you think he'll continue with it, or is it something that it's like just a thing that the two of you do, and he doesn't really play that many games by himself?
I don't know. He does a lot of like digital, like
Like Hearthstone, that
yeah,
kind of thing. Or...
And doesn't do as much of the go to the game store, but when we were at the store buying decks, he started looking at some of the KeyForge advertisements and being like, "Oh, I could do this, I guess." It's just I think it's a little intimidating for someone who doesn't do that and doesn't know anybody in the store to just go to a store and hope people aren't weird and it's fine. So
I mean, like, when I first started going to like magic events, because that was the sort of first like card game in a store that I got into, it was definitely intimidating, because nerds can be scary. And yeah, so I like that just reminds me of how like welcoming people need to be able to, you know, grow a community beyond just like other people that already come to the shop and play games.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, so we'll see. I don't know. I think he was intrigued by the fact that he could play online on the Crucible, and I showed him like how mm-hmm. easy it is. So I'm hoping to keep his interest like through that. But who knows? It is funny though. Like while we're talking about KeyForge, we ended up talking about Destiny, and he went out and bought like a box of Destiny too, just because we talked about it. So
that's great.
it was great. It was successful. But it was cool because we played so much KeyForge. Like after a while, the whole like pick a deck and play, we're like, okay, let's try something different. So we tried some of the other formats. And I really enjoyed it. I never remember the name of the format, so you might have to help me out here if you remember. Okay. But what's the name of the format where it's best 2 out of 3 and you trade decks for game 2?
Adaptive.
Adaptive. So yeah. And then you bid chains for game 3.
Mm-hmm.
Based on like, you know, which one you want to play. So we played it and we did go to a game 3, and there was clearly a deck that was like a little bit better. And so we started bidding chains, and it's the first time I'd done something like that. And so we just kept going back and forth, and finally he hit 6 chains, and I was like, okay, so do I go to 7 chains? Do I take the 2 less cards?
2 less cards, yeah.
And for sheer you know, podcast content experimentation, I did it. I went to 7 chains, and he said, that's too rich for my blood, I'm out. And so I started with that deck, and well, Mike, I did not win that game.
Was what like, do you think it was because of the 7 chains? Like, was it that brutal?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. I feel like he just ramped up super fast,
mm-hmm.
and he had this crazy board, and I could not answer it. I couldn't get cards out of my hand fast enough, couldn't mm-hmm. draw enough. I just felt so pigeonholed into like one concept, so. I think I still made it a game, but it was like I couldn't recover from those first rounds. So.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, like 7 turns drawing less, you know, drawing not 6 cards is a lot.
Yeah,
and the, you know, in your opening hand only having 4. Yeah. If you get like 2-1-1,
a lot of games
don't
even go 7 rounds sometimes, you know.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
But. So yeah, so that was cool, and I think that's exactly what FFG had in mind with that format of like
mm-hmm.
sometimes like you really can handicap a better deck in that way.
Yeah, that format seems so interesting to me because it's like if you accept the principle that like some decks are better than others, which is obviously true, then this format like seems like it would be the best at just like extracting player skill because of sort of like the fact that like the better deck is going to win the first game and the second game, which means that theoretically the third game is going to be equally matched between like the worst deck and then the better deck chained. So yeah, it just seems super super interesting, and I think that like learning how to bid well, like that seems like a really good skill to have, but I have no idea even where to like begin to think about that until I play a bunch of those, you know, formats.
Yep. I hope FFG capitalizes on all this when they do a world championship for KeyForge. And
yeah,
I mean, I've said this for Destiny too, because Destiny has multiple formats. Like, I would love to see a unique world championship for each format, because
mm-hmm.
some people are just better at one format. And so just saying it's just the Archon format that determines the world champion, or it's just the sealed, like I don't know. I feel like you're leaving out a lot of skill by not. I don't know.
It would be nice if it was like a cumulative format, like a cumulative world championship type of thing, where it's like all the participants at the world championships has to, you know, play and be good at like, you know, 3 different formats or something like that. So it's like when I used to watch Magic, it was like they used to have like, you would draft and then you would also play constructed, and like they sort of both come together to create whatever your you know, how many points you have. At least I think that's how I remember how it worked. I could be wrong about that, but it sounds awesome. So
yeah,
they should do it.
Yeah, that's so good.
Like Archon and sealed, and then like, you know, multiple versions of those sort of like broader formats.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of Sealed, the other format we played, we ended up like going to the store and I said, hey, what if we just each buy a deck and do a best 2 out of 3 Sealed, but at least for game one, don't even look at the deck list. Literally open the deck,
just shuffle open and play.
Up and draw. And that, like, truthfully, so that was the most fun I've had playing Keyforge.
Yeah, because it's so fun, dude.
There were still cards that I was drawing. I was like, I have never seen this card. This is so great. Like, I love this. This is really great.
That's awesome.
But the funny part about that whole thing is my opening hand in this blind sealed had the Khalifi Dragon. I call it the Wiz Khalifa Dragon from Brobnar, the crazy 12 strength Brobnar Dragon, and the Horseman of Pestilence, which we know that means it was a Horseman deck.
Yes, of course. So. And so, like, you just drew it, and you're like, oh, snap.
Yeah, it was like one of those, like, oh, cool, that's great. You know, I was never one, like, I need a Horseman deck, but to do it, like, blind sealed and just happen to draw into it was, like, a cool experience. So I definitely want to play more, like, blind sealed. Like, it kind of loses a little bit of the effect after the first round, but I still think it's, like, fun to hear, like, each person reacting, like, oh, okay. That's okay. This is cool.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I don't know. I want to play more of that for sure. So, yeah, Keyforge over Christmas. It was definitely a very lovely Christmas. It also seemed like the app got completely full. I mean, it's like 457,000 decks now. I mean, it just
crazy
exploded.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if anybody from FFG happens to listen to this podcast, my Keyforge Master Vault app still doesn't work. So just a little bit of beef there.
Well, maybe that's intentional, Mike. Maybe they're trying to send you a hint.
They don't want you
in this game.
Yeah, hopefully it'll work before they start like requiring it for organized play events.
Like, so this guy Mike, he's been on way too many podcasts, like different types of podcasts, different game. No, we just gotta cut him off now.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not that annoying yet, but when it happens where I have to like open up the app and like scan myself into the tournament, then I will start getting a bit louder about it.
Yeah, that's weird. Can you get on the website version of it?
Yes. It works on the website, and like even on my phone, it works on like the web version. Just the app doesn't work.
Got it.
So yeah, I mean, theoretically, if I can like sign into an official tournament with the sort of website, that's cool too. But yeah. Fingers crossed, it will eventually work.
All right. Well. Besides that, other news, today they announced, you can now play Sealed on the Crucible Online.
It's kind of cool. So do you know like how that works? Like, do they just give you a random deck out of like all the decks that exist in the database, or do they like generate a deck randomly for you based on an algorithm that they don't know? Like,
I think I saw someone,
it has to be just a random deck, right?
Yeah, I think it's random deck, and I also saw something where, like, it has to have been imported into the Crucible. Like, it can't just be, like, a deck that someone scanned in and then never ended up in the Crucible. Does that make sense? Huh.
Oh, I see. Okay, got it. So it's like they know what decks have been played on it, because like you have to register. Well, you have to register as a user, and then you like add your decks into the platform or whatever. So that
right,
that makes sense. That is pretty cool.
Yeah, and don't nice. Quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure I saw that somewhere.
Awesome. But we should jump on there and play some.
Oh heck yeah! Like that. I love grinding out games with my own decks and trying to learn them, but I also love just playing something I've never seen. And that is blind sealed, right? Because you can't.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a way. I mean, I guess.
Well,
you'll see the name of your deck.
You could look it up. Yeah, like, yeah. You could look up your and your opponent's deck on there. But, again, like, just play with people you know and people that aren't going to do that, and then it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I think that would be really fun. And we got to do some, like, YouTube content of So, kind of like we did back in the early days when we were using the TTS mod and you and Jay did the best like the three best. Out of five with random decks or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should definitely do that.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
And obviously Jay would lose because he's trash and he's terrible.
Yeah, well, I mean, he probably just won't even show up.
So. So yeah, Crucible. There you go. Awesome. Mike, you had a tournament.
Yeah, I think it was last week. These last like two or three weeks have been such a blur for me. We moved, and then it's just been like a bunch of like travel and music stuff and a little bit of Keyforge, which was this tournament. And I brought a deck that John Bruno traded me. If you guys don't know who John Bruno is, he was on the latest episode of Welcome to the Crucible. Awesome guy, super good at playing card games. And yeah, so he knows that I am a fanatic for decks that contain Key Abduction and Battle Fleet. And this one, it had two Key Abductions and one Battle Fleet. And it was the worst deck I've ever played in my entire life. So I went 0-4 with that deck, which was real bad. My first game, I'm kicking myself a little bit because I like the morning after. Like, did you ever like have that where like you play a game and then like later, like sometime in the future, you're like, oh, I played something completely wrong, or like we like,
yeah,
yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So on the very first turn, my opponent plays, they were going first. They played a Howling Caverns or something like that, which is the Logos card that is each player draws an extra card. And I don't know why, but I was just playing it as if only he gained the benefit of it. So the entire game he was drawing seven and I was drawing six when I should have been drawing seven, which definitely could have made a difference, because that first game was pretty close. And on my last turn, I was just searching for another Key Abduction to be able to forge right away, and I couldn't find it. So that was a bummer.
Stuff like the Howling Pit that you're just talking about, and the and like Speed Sigil for Shadows, where the first creature comes in ready. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like those, if it's not your deck, those are hard to remember, because if you're not used to triggering that effect,
right?
But your opponent then, is, because their deck.
Yeah, exactly. It just kind of like reminded me that I need to, you know, be less arrogant about how much I know and just like literally read every card to make sure that I understand everything properly.
Yeah.
And it like even just like forgetting things in the moment. But yeah, so that was a bummer. But the rest of my games were like not even close. It was just so bad. Like it had some cool combos in it for sure, but almost no control whatsoever. And so like my opponent would just like get a giant board of dudes and just be able to just like reap forever and just wreck me. So yeah, I definitely learned a lot about the game and about the deck and sort of all that kind of stuff. I will say that if I ever play a reversal event, this will be a prime contender for decks that I will bring. So that is fun.
and then they pull off the Battlefleet Key Abduction against
you. Yeah, I know. And then I'm going to be like, But the good news is that if I bring it to a reversal event and like my opponents are super good at it for some reason, then I can learn from them and, you know, figure out how to play it better.
Oh my gosh. So, you could be the marketing department for FFG right now.
It's
look at these things you can learn. It's a positive experience for everybody.
Woo! Oh man! But then after that, I played a few sort of just fun games with decks that I'm excited about, and won all of those. So I feel less bad. The deck that I played that I'm really stoked on is it's a deck that I recently acquired. It has two Nepenthe Seeds and two Mimicries. So.
Oh, wow.
I think I bait and switched four times in the game, like using my opponent's bait and switches against them, which is like hilarious. So just like the sort of decks that exist in this game, like allow for such weird things to happen. It just makes me so happy. I mentioned this to you briefly, but I think that KeyForge like completely does scratch the like deck builder's itch that I have, which but it's not a deck builder's itch in KeyForge. It's like acquiring the deck that is built the way that you want it to be built. So it's like, because everything's sort of like randomly put together, like you can still envision in your head like, oh, this card and this card and this card would be really cool together, and then you can go out and find that deck and then, you know, like buy that deck and try it out. So it's like deck building sort of still exists. I don't know if
yeah, it's
if
like
that
a,
resonates with you, but
it's like a deck pursuit maybe, or like
yeah, sort of, but like
the, I hear you.
Like the thing about deck building that's cool to me anyway is like finding a cool combo of stuff, or like finding a like a synergy or a strategy or something like that, and especially something that like nobody else has thought of, or something that is like kind of out there, and then playing it. And it's not like the literal, like to me anyway, it's not like, oh, is this, you know, one card out of 60 going to be better than this one card out of 60? Like that, I couldn't care less about that. So like this game is perfect for me because I can still go out there and find those like weird combo. Like I can go out there and be like, okay, I want to find the Battlefleet Key Abduction deck that is just like super sick. And like that scratches the itch for me just as much as if I were to put it together myself. And even better, because if I were to put it together myself, it would just be the most broken deck of all time. So
yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, like, I haven't gone out and bought any, like, pursued a deck that I really want. I think I've had more joy opening new decks and just getting them on the tail and see if I can figure them out. Like, it's almost like the discovery as I play is more interesting to me. And I've always felt like, as a card player in general, I'm a better player than a deck builder. Like when I build decks in Destiny, like I build funny combo, like I choose the stuff that nobody wants to play and just to see if I can figure it out.
Right.
Like, cause that's just really like, I play Red Hero in Destiny for those of you. Like it's like no one does that because it's like at least mono Red Hero, but I want to do it because no one does it. And like, I want to try to figure it out. So like, I like getting these decks and figure out, can I figure this out? Like that's more satisfying to me. I think then deck building, although I do like deck building 100%. Too, which is why I like playing KeyForge alongside of Destiny, because like whenever I have the itch for like either, you know, type of play, I can, you know, I can figure,
yeah,
I can find
between
that
between the two. Yeah.
For
sure.
But yeah. So.
Cool.
Cool.
Well, all right.
Well,
that was my experience.
There you go. All right, let's move on to our House of the Week. So we've done a few of these, and we're finally to the good old House of the Martians.
Yeah, the best house.
Best house. yeah. I'm kind of sad Jay missed the Mars Week, because I feel like this is like one of the more interesting ones to talk about.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to talk about Mars. First, overall impressions. Obviously, you showed your hand a little bit, Mike, that Mars is like your favorite house. Maybe
yeah,
talk about
yeah.
That.
It's funny because it definitely wasn't at the beginning. I think I started off and I was like kind of thinking that House Logos was like going to be my favorite. And then I started playing the game and Mars is just way more fun for me than Logos in almost every way. It's just so weird. And so like the effects are just like, unlike any of the other houses, all the little tiny Martian dudes that like die super easy, like have crazy effects. And then there's no in between. It's either gigantic, you know, like Yixalix Dominator, Zorg, like big 9-7 power dudes, or just like the little 2 or 3 power guys that just do crazy things.
Yeah.
And it's just so fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're green, dude. They're green.
Yeah.
They're little green Martians. They're so funny.
when the game released the like print and play PDFs out there, like the ones that had Mars in them, the Mars versions were like terrible. Like I remember having a deck with like one of the ones had like 3 ammonia clouds and like two really bad creatures, and there was like nothing really special about it, and it just felt terrible to ever call Mars. And but I only had those seven decks, you know, to play with for a while. And so I definitely had a skewed perspective. And then it's like, oh, we started seeing all these other Mars creatures being spoiled, or like not spoiled necessarily because people had all the cards, but like they'd pop up online and be like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's interesting. and so Mars has definitely climbed in my mind to up to my top three as well, because it's I love that. I just mentioned this, but I feel like Mars requires like a patience in triggering some of those like insane plays, because you get rewarded for having more Mars cards than like more so than other houses. I think so. Like
definitely.
Like Orbital Bombardment is an action. It says play, reveal any number of Mars cards from your hand. For each card revealed this way, deal two to a creature. Which is fantastic.
Mother
if
Gun
you have
is
a
very
hand
similar.
Yeah, Mother Gun. Battle Fleet, you know, gives you an amber play, reveal any number of Mars cards from your hand. For each card revealed this way, draw one card. I love getting to that point where I have like five Mars cards and I play Battle Fleet and get to draw that all those cards. It just it just creates opportunities. So I understand why some people are like, no, I hate Mars, like I just don't want Mars, like it's just frustrating, I don't like it. I get that. But for me, it's like, again, it's discovering some of those interactions that a lot of people don't feel like giving the time to figure out.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I've said this before, but it's definitely the house that sort of like the possible combinations can be either really synergistic or like really sort of not. So like, the times when you get, you know, Mother Gun, but like no creatures, or, you know, like there are certain things. It's like you have all the little tiny guys and then like three ammonia clouds. So it's like there are definitely, combinations of like, you know, Mars houses in decks that just like seemingly don't work well together. And I mean, some of them don't, which is fine, but the Mars decks that are like really synergistic are really, really crazy.
Yeah.
So,
well, specifically, I like my Mars decks that are combined with houses that do a lot of archiving. So
yes,
specifically like with that. Logos, just being able to archive Mars cards and just like fill that archive set until you feel good. Like, okay, you got the Battle Fleet or you got the Orbital Bombardment or whatever. And you can pull all those in and then just drop and have this insane play or insane turn. It just feels so good. So I like that kind of strategy and trying to figure that out with Logos too.
Totally, totally. Yeah, Logos is probably like the house that I would say kind of synergizes best with it because of that archiving kind of stuff. Also potentially like Sanctum or like something else that can help you protect your Mars creatures so that they last longer. A lot of the cards in Mars like really reward you for you know keeping those creatures on the board, which is very hard to do. So any house that allows you to do that better is definitely a good fit with the right kind of Mars deck, of course.
Yeah, for sure. Mars also has, I don't know if I can say my favorite creature, but definitely one of my favorite creatures in the Grabber Jammer.
Grabber Jammer is so good.
So fun. It's four strength, one armor, robot. Your opponent's keys cost plus one, and then it's got a fight or reap effect to capture one.
Yeah, it's so good at like, you know, that soft amber control.
Yeah.
And like,
I did the sloppy lab work about my deck, Cartier the Tight Purse, and it's got two Grabber Jammers and a Jammer Pack.
Ooh.
And the Jammer Pack is an upgrade, gives you an amber for playing it. This creature gains your opponent's keys cost plus two. So there are many turns like having a lot of Mars cards, saving the Mars cards, where I could drop two Grabber Jammers and a Jammer Pack, and all of a sudden they're trying to pay 10 for their keys, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I like Jammer Pack is so good on like the giant guys too. Like Jammer Pack on like Chuff Ape or on like Zorg or something like that. Like forcing your opponent to kill like a, you know, 7 or 11 health dude. is really sweet.
Yeah.
I think we should briefly touch on Biomatrix Backup because of the sort of, I don't know, like negativity around it right now, which, yeah. So if you don't know, Biomatrix Backup is an upgrade that says this creature gains destroyed. You may put this creature into its owner's archives. And so because it has that destroyed trigger, I think, and because it says you may put this creature into its owner's archives, if it's your opponent's turn and they destroy your creature that has this on it, they get to decide whether or not it goes in your archives. And they kind of made that clarification to keep the rules consistent, which is totally fine with me. But a lot of people say that it just kind of kills this card, makes it a dead card. But I would respectfully disagree. There's a lot of ways to use this card. The first of which being just like playing it on a creature that you already have in play and then immediately using it to like fight your opponent's creature, and then your creature dies and goes into your archives. So that's like the easiest way to use it. But there are definitely some other options. Like I have a deck that has a Speed Sigil in it. So if I have like a Mars creature, I play that. It comes into play ready. Then I can play Biomatrix Backup and then fight something and it dies and it goes into my archives. So, and we've already discussed how good archiving is in Mars. So I think that this card is still fine, even though it is definitely less powerful than it would have been.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think they'll change that. Some people call for like errata. I was like, I don't think it needs errata. I think if you have a deck like, with it, just know how it works.
Yeah, exactly. Like this game isn't about, you know, like everything being optimal all the time. Like sometimes you have, that card that you purged humans with no humans. And like that sucks, but you know, that's Keyforge, man. Yeah. It's not everything is going to be, you know, optimal all the time, and I think that is totally fine and creates some more opportunities for fun and interesting plays rather than just powerful plays.
Yeah. I also, another thing I love about Mars is I feel like it keeps a lot of like the humor in the game too. With stuff like Martians Make Bad Allies as a card.
Yeah.
Or like Mating Season is so weird. And
the art on that is so strange. Good.
Like Mothership Support, it's got like Mount Rushmore.
Oh my god!
Like
if there's one reason to love Mars, it's like the art on Mothership Support.
Yeah, it's so, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I like that.
It's just delightful, right? Like, yeah, it's just so wacky.
Yeah, there's enough serious games out there. Like, I like to have a little sense of humor in a game like this that's more casual based, anyways. But,
yeah. All right, so what? Let's move on to our favorite Mars cards. What's your favorite?
So my favorite Mars card is Psychic Network, which I've talked about on here before, but it just is because it's one of those cards that like you just don't see coming. But it's an action. It says play, steal one for each friendly ready Mars creature. So again, rewards you for having more Mars guys. Like the more you have, the better it goes. But, you know, I've gotten, I think the max I've gotten is 3 off of this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still like, stealing 3, that's a 6
amber swing. pretty dang good.
Yeah, you're making them lose 3 and you're gaining 3. Like, and a lot of bait and switches are similar in that regard. So, like, I feel like this is somewhat comparable to that, although bait and switch doesn't have, like, the condition that, in, you know, that this has. But,
sure.
But I think especially like when you have guys like the Yixilix Dominator with taunt, and it's got 9 strength, and like if you surround him with some Mars guys, like in reality, unless they have just a board wipe like Gateway to Dis or Coward's End or whatever, chances are your next turn you're going to be stealing quite a bit of amber. So I love it. It just, every time I've been able to play it, it feels like a very swingy play and feels super strong.
Yeah, I totally am behind that. All right, so my favorite, unsurprisingly, is Battlefleet / Key Abduction, but everybody already knows that, so I'm going to pick a different one. And I think that my next favorite, at least one of my next favorite cards from Mars, is Squawker. And it is an action. It gives you an amber when you play it. And it says, play ready a Mars creature or stun a non-Mars creature. So we've already kind of, you know, gone over how it's important, you know, like to keep your little Mars creatures alive. But if you can play it and then just ready it, it makes it a lot easier. And this also has the added benefit of being able to stun your opponent's creature if you don't have, you know, anything good to use it on in the moment. But like one of my favorite Mars plays is to play John Smith. And John Smith, let me find him real quick. He is a 2-power elusive creature. And it's fight, reap, ready a non-agent Mars creature. So I like playing him and then, you know, readying him with Squawker and then playing another guy and then like readying that with John Smith. And that has been a lot of fun. Those kind of plays are pretty cool.
Speaking of John Smith, mm-hmm. I just came to this realization. But it says a non-agent Mars creature. I just realized there are no other agent Mars creatures except for John Smith.
Really?
There's none. I just looked through the whole thing and I was like,
through all of them?
Because I was like, I've never, oh, this yeah, has never right. been a thing. So is it, do they?
Well, it's so that he can't just like ready another version of himself and then you can infinitely reap and ready them, basically. Like if you have two of these.
Oh, true.
Yeah, then you'd be able to go infinite with them.
Rule of six, man.
Well, that's only for playing cards.
Oh,
not,
yeah.
Not using cards. So this like literally would be infinite. So
that's a weird rule too.
If there's a way to like remove the agent tag, that'd be really funny.
Yeah. But it does make me wonder if they'll ever come out with like more agents in Mars in like
future sets. Yeah. In the future, that would be pretty cool. I have to imagine that they would. Well, I don't know. Like they definitely leave room for it, because otherwise they would say ready a, you know, Mars creature that's not John Smith. I guess ready an non-Asian Mars creature is just cleaner anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah. You can still do like fun stuff with it where you can like ready like a Uxalix Megamouth and then like use him to reap and then ready another non-Mars creature. And then I think there's a Sanctum guy that lets you like ready it and use a non-Sanctum guy. So yeah. Like if you have all three of those, you could go infinite.
There it is. I'll tell you when, people. Start searching for your ideal deck, right, Mike? Go buy it somewhere.
Yeah, I know exactly. That now I'm intrigued.
Grimothy on Discord, he popped in. He said he has a double Chuff Ape deck and it's the love of his life.
Oh man. That sounds beefy.
I gotta read Chuff Ape because it's so crazy. So 11 power, he's got taunt, he enters play stunned, and he's got fight reap effect. You may sacrifice another friendly creature if you do fully heal Chuff Ape.
That's like, it's so hard to kill this guy. I mean, like, unless you have a board wipe or you have just like a destroy a creature.
I feel effect. Like this sort of laughs at stuff like this. That's like,
yeah, mm-hmm. for sacrifice. Sure, or just like hand a disc,
yeah. but the taunt, man, 11 with taunt, I mean,
yeah, that's big. It's a big dude.
Anything else on Mars specifically? There's so many interesting things in here. I feel like I could talk about Mars longer than more
I know, for real. My next favorite interaction, I guess, just because I think it's hilarious, is Aether Spider with Bait and Switch. Like if you have an Aether Spider and your opponent bait and switches, opposite. If I'm playing an Aether Spider and my opponent bait and switches me, yeah, all of the amber goes on to the Aether Spider.
Yeah.
Which is like the funniest thing.
Yeah.
It's so bad for you, but man, like I was playing a game like a couple weeks ago and I had, like, I had seen the guy's deck list, and I had an Aether Spider in mine. He had a bait and switch in his. And the entire game, I was, like, playing around it or just, like, trying to not play my Aether Spider just in case he had bait and switch in his hand. And, yeah, it just creates so many funny, just, like, weird interactions.
Yep. That is a really good one. I have won a game off of a Crystal Hive. It's Artifact.
Ooh, nice.
For the remainder of the turn, gain one each time a creature reaps, so... Turns out when you have four Mars creatures and you reap with all four, you get eight. And then they've got so, they have so many Reap effects, like like the Bolter, Yixil Bolter. Every time you Reap, deal 2 to a creature. If this damage destroys that creature, purge it. Which is awesome, especially with so a lot good. Of like Shadows guys. Where you're like, get rid of him and get rid of him.
Yeah, I had a hand with John Smith, Yixilla Bolter, and 2 Squawkers, and so like, I play John Smith, I play Yixilla Bolter, I Squawker John Smith, and then I ready and you know use Yixilla Bolter and then do it again, and it's just it's so good.
Yeah,
it makes me happy.
Yep. Felix the Disintegrator, a rare creature. It's got elusive 1. Power, but action, your opponent loses 1 for each other friendly Mars creature.
So crazy. So I never read that and actually pronounced it Felix, but that is exactly what it sounds like, and that's fantastic.
This one with Squawker is such a crazy play.
So good.
I have pulled that off before where I dropped it in and made them lose 3 and they're like, that jerk.
It's nasty, man. And it's like it's a 1 power elusive dude. So it's like, do you really want to just like waste your time trying to kill it? Like you have to. So it there are so many like must answer creatures in Mars. Like people get really scared when you play like a Mind Warper or like a Zookeeper. Zookeeper is such a fun card. I think a lot of people really like Zookeeper. It's 2 power, elusive. Re-put an enemy creature into your archives. If that creature leaves your archives, it's put into owner's hand instead. The decks that I've sort of tried to buy or play or whatever don't have Zookeeper because I like having archives as well. And when you archive your opponent's stuff and then you pick up your archives, it just goes back to your opponent. So it's still good. It still gets them off the board and it's a really good tempo play, but it's less exciting when you also have an archive that you want to be using yourself.
Yeah. Grimothy in Discord, he just says, Shatterstorm is my favorite. Love taking a hit to destroy your opponent's amber. Something so satisfying about making them lose 9 versus your 3. Shatterstorm says, play, lose all of your amber, then your opponent loses triple the amount of amber you lost this way.
I think this is like the biggest potential like amber loss card out there.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's one that can like blow up that many amber from your opponent as this.
Yeah.
All right.
There it is. Mars, people.
Best house.
All right, we'll move on to our King Potato segment, which is a little less exciting without Jay here, but we're gonna do it anyways.
Let's make it more interesting. You can give me one, and then I will give you one to guess.
Oh, perfect, love it. Okay, so a special week, a double King Potato. all right, Mike, you're the King Potato this week that was turned into us is. Absolutely fantastic. The King Potato, the name of the deck that we think is hilarious this particular week, is the culprit that flees from exotic animals.
Okay. The culprit that flees from exotic animals.
I'm wondering what the culprit did. What's he guilty of?
Like he has to have like stolen something from those exotic animals, because he's fleeing from them. He's not he's not fleeing from.
That's true.
From something else. And I'm gonna go with
maybe
with
he that. Killed a buddy of theirs that was also exotic and rare and endangered.
Yeah, I mean, I that seems just like too evil to me, so I'm gonna go with stealing instead. Okay. okay. So that leads me to shadows, right?
Okay.
I mean, exotic animals is probably untamed or hopefully untamed. Maybe it's like Mars because they like, Martians seem pretty exotic. So actually, yeah, I like it. Let's go. Shadows, Mars, untamed.
Shadows, Mars, Untamed. Okay. This is his guess, everybody, in case you're following along at home.
Just tell me that I'm not 0 for 3.
You're not 0 for 3.
Yes.
So, the culprit that flees from exotic animals, it does have shadows.
Okay.
So, you had it right.
Hey.
And that's where it ended.
Damn, what?
It also has logos and discs.
What? The... Okay. I mean, okay. I can justify the logos. Like, maybe logos does, like, you know, experiments on exotic animals or something crazy like that.
Yeah, because it has. So I'm looking at the deck list. Like, it has three brain eaters.
Oh, okay. So, brain eaters could be an exotic animal.
Right. Well, you look at it and it's like he's like sucking the brains out of this Martian, and I'm just like, maybe it did that to an exotic animal.
Yeah, totally.
It also has the bouncing death quark. You know, that just destroys. I mean, there's some stuff. There's some stuff.
Well, what was the third house? Dis?
Dis, yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Well,
I wonder if all of the sort of words in the name of the card relate to the cards of the deck, or just like a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Possibly.
Grimothy, I'm very sad about missing that. I think that it was a very solid guess. I think that I actually got it right, and that Diaz is just trolling me.
Well, the internet can hold me accountable, Mike.
Yeah,
because
this
game is brilliant, and you can look it up online.
It really is.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have guessed Dis, because Dis is like so evil, and if it did something to mess with exotic animals, like, that's messed up, you know?
That's true. I should have taken it in that direction.
I would have guessed Shadows, right. Dis, Untamed. I wouldn't have guessed logos, but who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, give it to me. What you got?
All right. I have a King Potato that was submitted to our Facebook page by Bryce Varen, and it is one of my favorite names that I've heard. It is the child that grooms clowns.
What?
Yep.
The child that grooms clowns. Like, this
I wonder if this is an illegal deck.
Like, yeah. Anything that has grooms and child in it, I feel like should be banned.
Yeah, it's like a little bit horrifying.
This sounds like a sequel to It or something like that. Like,
yep, exactly.
Oh my gosh, the child that
actually that's actually funny, because in his image of it, he typed in the text the weird sequel to It.
Wait, seriously?
Yes.
Hey, great minds, man. Great minds.
That's fantastic.
The child that grooms what?
It's a very intimidating deck.
What words could possibly trigger? What cards could trigger those words? Okay, child grooms and clowns. Child grooms. Okay, I'm gonna say Mars. And I can't even give you a reason. I just feel
it's just
like
that weird.
Like, the grooming sounds like probing. I don't know. It's
okay. I'm really, really happy that it's not the child that probes clowns.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And then, gosh, clown. I'm gonna go with Shadows.
We're gonna get censored on iTunes.
I'm gonna go Shadows.
Okay.
Because I feel like a shadows guy might dress up as a clown.
He grooms him in the shadows.
To, like, steal. Yeah, and clowns hide in the shadows of sewers and stuff. So Mars, Shadows, the child.
I'm so sad Jay's not here for this.
The child. I feel like child has, like, this innocence to it that Sanctum brings to the table. Like, this pure... Like, not evil, like, just do it. So I'm gonna go.
Because he's pure.
Yes.
Not anymore.
No. Stop. I can't. This is a terrible episode. This is supposed to be our respectable episode, Mike, because Jay wasn't here.
It was supposed to be.
Oh my gosh, Discord right now is like dying. I'm sorry. Great. I apologize to everyone listening to this live. We may not publish this one.
No, we definitely will.
Okay, so Mars, Shadows, Sanctum. That's my final answer.
That's your final answer?
It's my final answer.
Dude, you're almost a beast. It is Mars, Sanctum, Untamed.
Oh, man, I am so close.
That was so close. That was so close. I think the groomed probably comes from Untamed because, like, animals groom each other.
Oh, that's a little bit more innocent, I guess.
Yeah. it's slightly more innocent than it being similar to probing.
Okay.
Man.
We should probably end this episode before it gets any worse. And it's like we lose all our Patreons the day after this release. How did we ever?
Yeah, sorry everybody, but also, I thought everything about that was hilarious. So
I can't even close this out. All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
All right, bye guys. Follow us, review us, support us, do all the things to us. Do you want to give some flavor text?
Yeah, flavor text this week. It comes from Phosphorus Stars. The flavor text says, "Martians love the smell of this spice, but it reminds me of old Bruno's feet." Signed, Dodger.
All right, bye guys.
Bye.